couple of years ago, I got a CD from a young fiddle player. She was about 10 years old when she recorded it. Her name was Kitty Amorell. And a lovely note with it, and she wrote to me and said, I like your radio show, and I'm a fiddle player, and, you know, if I could see fit to play the album. And I did. I listened to it. Every album that comes in, by the way, to Unreal Bluegrass, I listen to them all. I get a lot of them. It's my judgment as to whether they make the air or not. But I listened to Kitty's album entitled Fiddle Gems, J-E-M-S, not J-I-M-S, and was absolutely stunned. At 10 years old, she had a talent. She had a tone. She had a technique. She had a full grasp of all the music she was playing. And I kept thinking to myself, we'll hear from her again. And I will tell you this, in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the IBMA conference week, she found me. Kitty Amorell came running up to me, and of course, she's 13 now. And I thought, oh, good, there she is. Finally got to meet her, got to see her play, got to have a nice discussion with Kitty. You're going to hear a lot about Kitty. I will say by this time next year, everybody will know about Kitty Amorell, and I'm not exaggerating it at all. She has only one album out, Fiddle Gems. She's going to be putting new stuff out. She plays jazz. I'm not going to give it away. You can listen. We sat and visited for about 15 minutes. We had a good time. Just kind of exploring what Kitty's into. And you're going to understand the base of her knowledge and talent by the end of this program. Well, trust me, this time next year, you're all going to say, oh, I heard about Kitty Amorell on that Unreal Bluegrass show. I've been a fan of this young lady for a couple years when she sent me a CD entitled Fiddle Gems, right?
Yep.
All right. And I'm going to welcome Kitty Amorell.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm happy to finally run into you. This will be real fun. Don't worry about it. We're just going to talk about your music. We're here at IBMA now in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm real happy to meet you finally because I've been a fan for years. You sent me this CD. We were talking right before we started. You sent me the CD, Fiddle Gems. I guess you were, what, 10 and a half or 11 when you did that?
I was 10 and a half when I recorded it. I recorded it in the summer and released it in the fall, so...
Well, and I noticed right away you have, you're kind of old-timey.
Yeah, I originally started with classical music, and then I started taking old-time fiddle lessons from my neighbor Jerry Carell, and Jerry taught me all his rare tunes, and he told me, Kitty, as a way of how you played when you were 11 or 10, I want to make a CD to showcase how you play before you want to play some other genre and before you move on. We're like, no, I'm not ready. We can't do this, Jerry. And he's like, I want to do it. So finally, it was the best gift I've ever gotten. So he took me into the studio, and we made this, like, pro CD of all of his tunes. And it was an amazing experience. But, yeah.
You seem to take to the old-time sound pretty well for having a classical training. What was your classical training prior to this time?
It was Suzuki. I started with that program.
Okay.
And after the first few books, I moved on, and my Suzuki teacher would teach me other pieces and stuff, but he was classified as that. And I still do play classical, actually. I'm in the ASU College Orchestra right
now. Well, I've seen posts from your parents, probably, about you're going to, I don't know what the groups are called, but you're part of a section, and you,
yeah.
you do stuff like that. So does that mean you're still learning classical music or technique?
I am, yeah. I love classical. I absolutely love playing in the orchestra. It's one of my favorite things. And I'm still learning classical, and I'm doing bluegrass and jazz. I'm all over the place now.
Do you think that learning classical helped you with a bowing technique? In my opinion, I don't play fiddle at all, but it seems to me the technique for bowing in classical music is more defined or more specific. Can you explain that a little?
Well, everything's a little bit more specific in classical music than it is in fiddle, because it's all written out, of course, on the music, and you have to do exactly what's on the page, exactly what's written. And, I mean, if there's any way to start out technically that's better, it'd be classical rather than starting out with a fiddle background, because a lot of fiddle players, they put technique to the wayside. You know, that's not as important to them. But it definitely gives you a good tone and a good solid feeling of the instrument, and then you can start putting in those kind of inflections.
Well, exactly. That's a good word for it, because it's really, there's so many ways to, if I use the worn out term, attack, your attack on the strings. You probably learn a more diverse way to approach the strings and the attack of the bow through classical music than you would just, nothing wrong with just learning, you know, old-time music, but you probably come into it knowing a little bit better how to get the sound that you want.
Yeah, I mean, they teach us different bowing techniques in classical, like you have spiccato and staccato and coulée and all sorts of things that you're not necessarily going to be thinking when you're playing an old-time tune. Okay, I'm going to put a coulée here, I'm going to do this spiccato, but it kind of comes out. And being trained how to do it in the right way and already having that knowledge kind of flows, makes it just kind of feel better.
Here's what I thought when I got your CD and did not know you, and I get the CD and a wonderful note, and I listened to it, and the first thing I thought was, you have an absolutely perfect ear.
Well,
maybe it's trained that way. Maybe I'm missing. But to me, at your age, to be able to play those, I've heard so many fiddle players. It's a fretless instrument, so you really have to know where you're going. I think you have a really good tone and a real good approach to the music that you're playing. I don't know if that's something you focus on.
Well, I know my first piano teacher actually told me I had perfect pitch, and I can kind of tell notes. I mean, I'm not like, oh, okay. It's like I don't classify it as I can do this or anything. It just kind of comes naturally to me. I can just kind of, I'll tell you a note if I hear it. I can usually tell you what it is.
Well, see, that makes me feel like I can hear better, because when I heard your CD, The Fiddle Gems, I thought this person knows. You're right on the note. You were playing exactly what you wanted to play when you played it, and I thought this is either something you've learned or just something that you have a special gift at, or both. So I did not know then that you had studied so much classical music. I did not know that you had done piano work, but now it makes sense to me. So you've helped fill that gap in me, because I do think that your playing is just right, just dead on.
Thank you. And I didn't do piano for too long, but I mean, I know it definitely helped. Any kind of music exposure helps in any way, you know.
Well, so you're back. I didn't see you last year. I was here last year. I didn't see you then, or I would have said hi. And we talked about that right before we started. The hurricane was coming. It was raining. But now you're here at IBMA, and you're performing, and you're meeting people and playing with people. This must be a whole new experience for you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, last year I had only a few showcases on a couple stages with my youth band, Shadowgrass.
Right.
We play traditional, and we want to move into some kind of progressive bluegrass, and we're just Presley Barker, Luke Morris, Kaiser George, Clay Russell, and then me on fiddle. So we've got the whole setup, but you got the tools. That's right. You just got to learn how to use them.
Well, when you say progressive, what are you listening to now? When you probably listen to still everything, but if it's just Kitty alone listening to something progressive, what would you listen to?
Well, bluegrass-wise,
sure.
I listen to a lot of things. Honestly, I love jazz. I've started playing some jazz. I listen to a lot of John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Charlie Parker, all those people. Probably shouldn't be saying that here at the IBMA.
No, listen, I have a jazz radio. I have a jazz radio show back home.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
We'll have to tune in sometime.
Well,
for
I'll tell you when to catch it, but I am thrilled that you're listening to these people.
Oh,
I'm a huge fan of Coltrane and Miles.
Giant Steps. I love that whole album. I was listening to it earlier today, actually.
Now, I'll tell you a funny thing. Yeah. I had this conversation, and I don't want to make this about me, but I had this conversation just the other day that I was talking about a banjo player that I know well. His name is Ryan Cavanaugh, and Ryan just plays everything. And he learned Giant Steps. And my response was, whenever I start hearing any part of the album, I almost always have to listen to the whole thing. I certainly can't stop in the middle of the tune Giant Steps. But normally, once I start the album, I have to listen to the whole thing. It's just one of those things you can't put down.
Well, it's just phenomenal, because it's kind of bringing you to the start of the fusion jazz and all that and everything else. But I love that, and I listen to that on repeat, just especially that album. And I listen to a lot of gypsy jazz, like Jimmy Rosenberg and Django.
I was going to ask you, when you said jazz, I thought, okay, we're going to get into Django Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli and Joe Venuti.
Yeah,
but you're listening to Coltrane and Miles, but you also listen to those violin players that
just
get great sound of swing, and Django Reinhardt.
Clubhouse and Flora Niculescu. And also, I love listening to guitar players like Borelli Legrin and Angelo DeBar and that. But back to bluegrass. Progressive bluegrass.
Well, we can talk about whatever, but I mean, I thought that was neat. So, yeah, progressive bluegrass. If you're listening to not jazz and you want to listen to what we'll call progressive bluegrass. I don't like labels that much.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, let's say, what are you going to listen to if you're not listening to Coltrane? what's Kitty going to be listening to?
Probably either the Punch Brothers, or I absolutely love Punch Brothers.
I knew this already.
Yeah. And I love the Steep Canyon Rangers. Gosh, there's so many good bands, but those two, I have their albums, and they're kind of on repeat for me as well. And, I mean, there are so many amazing musicians out there doing this progressive bluegrass, but those are just two of my favorites.
So you're just, right now, you're just soaking it all in.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you take influences like Coltrane or Miles, and do they come from your fiddle when you're playing with Shadowgrass?
Well, I don't know about Shadowgrass, but I'm very interested in trying to, like, transpose Coltrane licks. Like, you take Giant Steps, it has 26 changes. There's so many chords in there. Of course, you can probably take a lick that he used on one chord and transpose it into a bluegrass song. Just use that little arpeggiation on the same chord in a bluegrass song. I don't know. I wanted to try some of that.
You know, what you'll probably wind up doing is not... Transcribing will be a great exercise to learn what he's doing. And bits of it will probably come out in your playing. Maybe you don't even intend it, but that influence will be back there for you.
Or if you just think, I mean, sometimes when I'm playing, I'm like, okay, I want to try to make this variation sound Coltrane-y, if you could say that. And it's like, I'll think about, like, the start of his solo, because I'm able to play the first round of his Giant Steps solo, and I'll, like, start playing that, and then, like, I'll hear a certain pattern, and I'll kind of twist it, and it's not the same notes always, or it's not the same thing, but it kind of stems from that idea. And, I mean, there's only 12 notes. You can only do so much, but it's all the same thing, I mean. So.
I'm so excited to have you tell me that this is the music you listen to in addition to bluegrass. I just think it's going to open a world of music to you.
Well, I enjoy listening to it so much.
And you're going to hear more of it. There's more of it. You know, when Coltrane, to me, absolute genius, rewrote tenor saxophone and jazz. Miles Davis, this is all just my editorial, which means nothing. Maybe the greatest musician in the last 50, 60 years as far as impact. I mean, you think about fusion. That's still going on. That's something that started in the 70s, in the early 70s. And there are still bands that are still, you can only classify them as fusion. It's just something he did toward the end of his recording career and all the stuff that he did. So you have a lot to listen to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still stumped on Giant Steps right now. I'm like, I got to figure this out first.
There are many people that are. Have you heard a young piano player named Joey Alexander?
I have. I've actually listened to his Giant Steps version.
Isn't that...
It's outstanding.
He reminds me of you because I don't know how old he is now. because he's young and he's got that... It's the ability to hear it and bring those things into your music. And, he's got a new album out, by the way.
Oh, really?
I only just picked it up last week. But, the first album was all Coltrane tunes or stuff that you would associate with Coltrane.
Right.
And his Giant Steps is pretty powerful. So I'm glad you're listening. That's good. Well, we had more in common than I thought. I'm very happy with the music choices that you're making. You're here at IBMA. You're going to be playing with different... You have showcases coming up?
I do. I have a few showcases throughout the weekend.
Okay.
I'll be on the youth stage and the jam stage, and actually tomorrow, which will be Friday, Shadowgrass is going to be able to play on the Today Show with the Earls of Leicester. So we're very excited about that.
Well, I have to tell you, this will air after you do that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But still, because I don't have a way to get this into the pipeline, but this will get right into it. So you're going to play with the Earls and you're going to be on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a chance to actually play the show back with Jerry Douglas, you know, the kind of leader of that band, back in June, a show for Joe Wilson, who was an amazing musicologist that I had the pleasure to know.
You probably just call him Jerry. You're probably like, hey, Flux.
You don't. I call him all the time. Yeah, I'm like, hey, Jerry, how you doing? No, we were actually talking about it last night. But, he's an amazing musician, though, and I'm just really pleased that we can actually... I want to meet the Earls because I love what they're doing.
Well, sure.
They're taking the traditional bluegrass, and they're not twisting it, but they're definitely kind of... taking their own take on it, was keeping it super traditional. I mean, he's an amazing musician, and I love his music as well. I mean, that doesn't fit into Newgrass, but it does because he does everything. I mean, he does like Chick Corea's Spain in his set, and then he'll go and he'll do his original compositions, which are out of this world. I mean, I love everything.
You're on the right track, and I think from Kitty, from what I've heard of your playing, you're on the right track, and you have the right tools to be able to use that and move it forward a little bit.
Hopefully.
You don't have to move it forward just for the sake of that, but I think it's going to come naturally to you.
Well, I mean, for me, I love practicing, especially this last year. I've absolutely loved practicing. Last summer, I got a new instrument, and that's been really inspiring, and now I really don't want to put it down. So for me, it's like, okay, this is good, but how can I make it better? And I have this huge list of stuff I want to learn that I don't know, so it's just like, I could ever stop learning.
It's all waiting for you. I'm so excited for you. And I think now I must have been really smart, because when I got this CD from a very young lady, I thought, she knows what she's doing. And I thought the sound was, it's hard, I think, to be that right that early. And I kept thinking, I don't know much about you, but now you're explaining to me what you're training and what you're listening to. Now I think I was right when I heard Fiddle Gems, and I thought, Kitty knows what she's doing. Now I'm even more convinced that I may have accidentally been right when you sent me that CD.
Well, this is neat. Finally,
I know. I'm very
now
thrilled.
Talking about Coltrane.
I'm thrilled to have this happen. So, well, you probably have stuff to get ready to. I know we wanted to take a look. I was so happy to see you yesterday. I wanted to take a few minutes and just talk to you a little bit about your music, and now I'm even more excited having done that.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to talk to you.
Well, all right, Kitty,
make sure to listen into his radio show. It's great.
Thank you. We're a little different. We're a little off the beaten track, which is fine. Kitty, thanks so much. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
I hope to see you next year, maybe even before then.
Definitely.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
As we ended our nice visit with her, we played one of her tunes. The tune was Funky Chicken. I'm going to tell you again, I don't do this very often. Write down on a piece of paper, Kitty Amaral, A-M-A-R-A-L. Post it on your refrigerator. Use a magnet. Stick it on your wall. Stick it on a cork board if you have one. And then a year from now, when everybody else knows about Kitty Amaral, you can say, I've known about her for a year, because you're going to know. You're going to hear her. You're going to hear her music more and more and more. And if you listen to what she was into, she's very bright. She absorbs all the music that she hears. She's always looking for more. And I'm telling you, it comes out through her playing effortlessly. It goes through, channels through her, comes out as Kitty's music. Not anybody else. She's not trying to reproduce anybody else. She's only 13, folks.